Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Conference Committee on the Operating Appropriation Bill, House Bill 205, to order. Official time is 1:44 p.m. Saturday, March 28th, 2020. Members present from the House: Representative Foster, Vice Chair; Representative Johnson; Representative Tilton. On the Senate side, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Olson, and myself, Stedman. On today's agenda, we'll be addressing open items of HB 205 based on a motion sheet distributed to members and dated March 28th on the following. Department of Corrections, Department of Education and Early Development, Department of Health and Social Services, Department of Law, Department of Public Safety, University of Alaska, Permanent Fund, Supplemental Items, Language Items, Capital Items, Fiscal Notes, and finally, Amendments and Other Items. I'd like to invite Pat Pitney, Director of Legislative Finance Division, to the table, and I'd like to start the process with the Department of Corrections. Representative Foster.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee adopt the following in the Department of Corrections budget. Item number one, Senate. Item two, Senate. Item three, Senate. Item four, Senate. Item five, House. Item six, House. Item seven, Senate. Item eight, Senate. Item 9, Senate. Item 10, Senate. Item 11, House modified, add two positions. Item 12, House. Item 13, Senate. Item 14, Senate. Item 15, Senate. Item 16, House. Item 17, House. Item 18, House. Item 19, House. And item 20, Senate. Okay.
We have a motion. Hearing no objections, this motion passes. This action closes the conferenceable items in the Department of Corrections budget. Concerning the Department of Education, Representative Foster.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee adopt the following item in the Department of Education. Item number one, Senate.
We have a motion to adopt item number one. Do we have objection? Hearing none, motion passes. This action closes all conferenceable items in the Department of Education and Early Development. We'll now go to the Department of Health and Social Services. Representative Foster.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I move that the committee adopt the following item in the Department of Health and Social Services. Item 16 and 18, Senate. And Mr. Chairman, I will object.
Okay, we have a motion to move items 16 and 17. And there is an objection. Representative Foster.
16 and 18.
Excuse me, 16 and 18. Representative Foster, would you like to speak to your objection?
And I have no comments. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And objection is removed?
I maintain my objection.
Okay. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Foster.
No.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Yes.
Senator Olson.
Yes.
Okay, we've had an objection and we've had a roll call and the item passes. This action closes the conferenceable items in the Department of Health and Social Services. Next up, Department of Law. Representative Foster.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee adopt the following in the Department of Law's budget. Item 1, Senate. Item 2, House. Item 3, Senate. Item 4, Senate modified. Replace existing language with, quote, "It is the intent of the legislature that when managing caseload while making budget reductions, the department use staff instead of outside contracts whenever possible, and that the department should not make reductions to contracts if the contract is a possible revenue generator, unquote. And item 5 is Senate. Item 6, House. Item 7, Senate. Item 8, Senate. Item 9, House. And item 10, House.
Okay, we have a motion to move the items 1 through 10. Have objection? Hearing none, motion passes. This action closes all conferenceable items in the Department of Law. We'll now go to the Department of Public Safety. Representative Foster.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee adopt the item in the Department of Public Safety's budget. Item 1, House, modified, delete existing language, replace with, quote, it is the intent of the legislature that the Department of Public Safety prioritize the deployment of law enforcement resources to non-urbanized areas that lack organized governments, and when placing additional trooper positions, prioritize adding a second trooper to existing one trooper posts, unquote.
Okay. We have a motion. Move item 1. Do we have objection? Hearing none, the motion passes. This action closes all conferenceable items in the Department of Public Safety's budget. We'll now go to the University of Alaska.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee adopt the following in the University of Alaska's budget. Item 1, Senate. Item 2, Senate. Item 3, Senate. Item 4, Senate. Item 5, Senate. And item 6, Senate.
We have a motion to move items 1 through 6. We have objection. Representative Johnson.
Yes, I have an objection to 4, item 4.
Okay. We have an objection to item 4. Would you like to speak to your objection?
Yes, thank you. In light of these unusual times and the legislature not passing a capital budget, I would like to make clear that the funds above the amount included in the compact are to be used for their debt service or deferred maintenance. Those additional funds should not be used to fund operating costs above the agreement in the compact. And thank you, Mr. Chairman. With that, I withdraw my objection.
Okay, we've had an objection, we've had comment, and we've had a withdrawal. Do we have further objection to the adoption of items 1 through 6? Seeing none, items 1 through 6 pass. This action closes all conferenceable items in the University of Alaska's budget. We'll now go to the permanent fund. Representative Foster.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee adopt the following item in the permanent fund. Item 1, Senate.
We have a motion to adopt item 1. Do we have objection?
Objection.
We have an objection to item 1. Representative Tilson, would you like to speak to your objection?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Being a person who believes that we should follow the law of the statutory dividend that we have on the books, I believe that the $1,000 dividend to the people is not what we have for following the law that we have sitting in front of us, and I that would be my objection.
Okay. We have any other comments?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for this opportunity to go ahead and comment on this. I think at this time where we have unprecedented financial strain as well as health issues that are out there, at least the people in my district have made their opinion loud and clear that whatever we can put into their hands now and in the fall would be something that is absolutely necessary for them to continue with, to shore up the shortfalls that are within going to be happening here in the near future.
Other comments on this is the permanent fund dividend for roughly a $1,000 dividend this fall. I'd like to make a brief comment, just a clarification, and then we'll call a question. There is a statute that is laid out to pay a permanent fund dividend on the books. When we do an operating budget, which is a one-year, has a one-year life, the legislature, if adopted, the legislation in question, which inheres the operating budget, overrides the existing statute for the period of that 1 year. So we're not breaking the law. We're modifying it for a particular period, just for clarity. Will the clerk call the roll, please?
Mr. Chairman.
Right. Okay, we'll just hold it, clerk. Would you like to make a further comment, Representative Tilson?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, in light of the situation that we are in now, I can see by the table that I would be outvoted. I know what the votes are, and so I want to get as much to the people as we can possibly get to the people, so if $1,000 dividend is what we can get to the people at this time, I will remove my objection.
Okay. We have had an additional comment by Representative Tilson and a removal of her objection. Do we have any further objection to amendment number one? Okay. Seeing and hearing none, amendment number item one passes. And this action will close all items in the permanent fund. We'll now go on to the fiscal year 20 supplemental items. Representative Foster.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee adopt the following supplemental item. Item 7, House.
Okay, we have a motion to move item 7, House. Do we have objection?
Object.
Okay, we have objection to move item number 7, House. Representative Tilson, would you like to speak to your objection?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item number 7 would provide a supplemental payment of $1,000 that was voted on by the Senate body, and at this particular time in this crisis, there is a need for the people to get cash into their hands. Many are losing their jobs. Many are fearful for how they will survive. We are, I know that there are stabilization items out there, such as unemployment, but the unemployment does not fulfill the dollar amount that people have a need for on a weekly basis. I know that there is also stimulus money coming from the federal government, but when you add all of that stimulus money up with, if you take an average wage earner with your average wage of $74,000 a year, it does not get people up to what they would be making per week. If we added this $1,000 payment to the people, that would get them up to what they would be making, and it would get us through the short-term crisis that we have right now. We also have seen economists that have said the best thing that we can do is get people money into the hands of the people, as well as those who were put on the bipartisan group of people who came out today and said that the best thing to do is get money into the hands of the people as soon as possible. We have the roles, we have the ability to do it, and I would object to removing that.
Okay, we have objection on item 7. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Excuse me, sir. It certainly is a noble effort to go ahead and try and do what we have to do, but at this time, as you look at some of the stimulus efforts that are being put forth out there by the federal government, I think are going to come too little and too late. Things that we have done here with the unemployment insurance, many of the people in my district aren't even eligible because they haven't been employed and haven't put into that unemployment insurance fund. And so some of the people that will slip through the cracks are people that are eligible for the permanent fund dividend, and this will help to make sure that they have some way to go ahead and pay their electric bill, pay their fuel bill, afford to go ahead and purchase necessary items like shells in the communities so they can go hunting.
Any other comments on adopting item 7? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Olson?
No.
No.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
Yes.
Senator Ron Emhoff?
Yes.
Representative Johnson?
Yes.
And the item passes, item seven passes. So this closes, this action closes the conferenceable supplemental items. We're going to now go to the language items. Representative Foster.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee adopt the following language item. Item one, Senate.
Any objection to item one? Seeing none, item one is adopted. The motion passes. This action closes all conferenceable language items. And now we're going to go to the capital items. We're now moving to the capital items included in this bill. They are listed on a separate motion sheet. We will be making capital budget motions by page or group of items. I will ask if there is objections for any of the items on a page or group. If there is objection to an item on a page, we will set that item aside for discussion after completing the motions for the rest of the page. So there, we grouped them like that to kind of speed things up because there are multiple pages. It's pretty standard stuff. There's not itemized listing or anything. So I move, go ahead, Representative Foster.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee adopt the following capital items. Page one, items 1 through 8, Senate.
Okay, go ahead and just list them down, and then after he lists it, just speak up if there's an objection, and I'll stop and mark it. Go ahead and continue.
Page two, items 9 through 15, Senate. Page three, items 16 through 22, Senate. Page three, item 23, House. Page 3, item 24, Senate. Page 4, items 25 through 32, Senate. Page 5, items 33 through 39, Senate. Page 6, items 40 through 46, Senate. And finally, page 7, items 47 through 49, Senate.
Okay, we have a motion combining all items 1 through 49 as specified by pages by Representative Foster. Do we have any concerns or objections to any of these? Everybody comfortable? Okay, we seeing no objection. Items and body selection of pages 1 through 7 as represented by Representative Foster are passed. And this action closes all fiscal year 21 capital items. We are now moving on to the supplemental capital items. Representative Foster.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move the committee adopt the following supplemental capital items. Page 8, item 1, Senate modified, minus 500,000, change the fund source code from AHFC dividend, which is fund code 1139, to the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund, which is fund code 1001. And change to immediate effective date.
Okay, then, we're going to do one at a time here.
Okay.
Because they're more complex than the other ones. So on item number one, do we have objection? Okay, seeing no objection, we adopt item one. We'll go on to item 2 through 4, Representative Foster.
Okay, page 8, items 2 through 4. Senate.
We have a motion to move item 2 through 4. Senate, do we have objection? Hearing none, it's adopted. Next.
I move the committee adopt pay on the supplemental capital items, page 8, item 5, Senate modified, delete, quote, and development of economic opportunities for the state at the state and federal level, unquote.
We have a motion dealing with page 8, item 5. Do we have objection? Seeing none, next item.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee adopt the following supplemental capital item, page 8, item 6, Senate modified, delete, quote, and development of economic opportunities for the state at the state and federal level, unquote.
Okay, we have a motion to move item 6 on page 8. No objection? Okay, hearing none, next item.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee adopt the following supplemental capital item, items, page 9, item 7 through 10, Senate.
Okay, any objection? Next item.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee adopt the following supplemental capital items, page 10, items 11 through 14, Senate.
Any objection? Okay, on the next item.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee adopt the following supplemental capital item, page 10, item 15, Senate, modified, change to immediate effective dates.
Okay. No objection. Next item.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee adopt the following supplemental capital items, page 10, items 16 and 17, Senate.
Any objection? Next item.
And Mr. Chairman, lastly, I move the committee adopt the following supplemental capital item, page 10, item 18, Senate, modified, reduce line 1 by $3.2 million Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund, that's fund code 1001, increase line 2 by $3.2 million HFC dividend, and that's fund code 1139.
Do we have objection? Seeing none, last item.
And the last item, Mr. Chairman, I move the committee adopt the following supplemental capital items, which is page 11, items 19 and 20, Senate.
We have objection? Seeing none, just take a minute because there's quite a list. Is all committee members comfortable with the last list of items? Okay. So all those motions pass. This action closes all conferenceable supplemental capital items in the House Bill 205. We'll now do fiscal notes. We will now address fiscal notes that will be added to House Bill 205. Representative Foster.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move the committee adopt the fiscal note appropriation packet for House Bill 205.
Do we have objection? Seeing none, motion passes. This is second, let me back up a little bit. I'll object for explanation, in case there's any explanations that are wanted or needed on any of those fiscal notes. We have Pledge Finance here. Okay, I'll remove my objection, and then any other objections? Okay, we'll go ahead and pass that motion. Representative Foster.
And on to amendments, Mr. Chairman, is that?
I think we're on the packets. So, oh, excuse me. I got off my script. Let's back up a little bit, Representative Foster. Maybe you could read the definitions of the packets, and if there's a need, even though we already passed the motion, but if there's concerns or questions, we'll deal with it. Okay. So if you could read the items 1 through 3, please.
Mr. Chairman, I'll object for the purposes of this explanation, and there are three. The packet makes appropriations associated with the bills listed. Number two, if a bill listed fails to pass, its substance fails to be incorporated in some other measure, or is vetoed by the governor, the appropriations associated with that bill are removed. And number three, the attached reports prepared by the Legislative Finance Division list the fund sources and agencies associated with the bill.
Okay. And then move the objection.
I'll remove my objection.
Yeah, there's an objection. So that, any further explanation needed on how we handle fiscal notes? Pretty standard. Okay. So we'll go ahead and accept that motion and explanation. Representative Foster.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, or Chairman, I move that for all unrestricted general fund appropriations.
Wait, just a second. Let me finish up here. On the previous one dealing with the fiscal note appropriation packet for House Bill 205, if there's no further objection, hearing none, the fiscal note packet for House Bill 205 is adopted. So I want to be clear that we're adopting the packet. Representative Foster.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that for all unrestricted general fund appropriations in sections 1 through 4 of this bill, excepting appropriations made to the judiciary, 25% of the unrestricted general funds be replaced by the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund, and that is fund code 1001.
And I'd like to object to that. For purpose of discussion, I'd like to ask Mr. Pete Eklund to come forward. He's the operating budget coordinator for the Senate, to the table to explain the motion so all members of the committee and beyond understand what we're doing here. Mr. Eklund, if you could introduce yourself for the record, of course, and then take us through this, please.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Pete Eklund, staff to Senator Stedman and the Senate Finance Committee. Mr. Chairman, with your approval, I'm going to kind of take a step back and try to give a general overview of basically the next two amendments and what they're trying to accomplish. I'm going to take one stab at it, Mr. Chairman, and then we'll go over amendment that was just the 25% UGF amendment that was just made by Representative Foster. And then on the next amendment, we're going to let Ms. Schultz kind of attempt to explain the same thing, probably a little differently, so hopefully everybody can, between the two of us, people will hopefully understand the concept of what's happening here, Mr. Chairman. Okay. So the motion itself, Mr. Chairman, was to take 25% of the UGF, or unrestricted general fund appropriations, made in section, reduce 25% of the UGF appropriations in section 1 of the bill, section 1 through 4 of the bill. And you have a report labeled C1 and C2, I think. Yep, C1 and C2 in your packet. And Mr. Chairman, sections 1 through 4 of the bill are the number section of the bill and also the fiscal note section of the bill that you just adopted. And so if you look at C1, Mr. Chairman, you will see on the first column, if you go down there, CBR fund, CC4, that's Conference Committee 4, CBR. So this is, they're calling this the fourth meeting. And so you'll see at the bottom there, or you'll see at the bottom is $607,546,000. That would be the UGF reduction from the numbers section of the bill. Then you look further down on statewide items, you'll see a state retirement payments reduction of $84.6 million. That is the PERS and TERS, the public employees retirement system and teachers retirement systems are also reduced in a following, not this amendment that you're discussing, I'm sorry, but the next one that Ms. Schultz will discuss. There's also a reduction to the PERS and TERS retirement funding for a total of, you'll see at the bottom there, total agency and statewide of $692.18 million. And Mr. Chairman, the reason for that, and I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to talk about other amendments just to kind of wrap this together.
That's fine. We'll give you the leeway so committee members and staff and other legislators throughout the building thoroughly understand the structure of the budget.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. If the amendment in front of you in part was constructed in the event that there is not a three-quarter vote obtained to fill the deficit in FY21 for the operating and capital budgets. So the intent would be that if this motion passes that's on the table and the next amendment coming, that if the CBR vote for the CBR vote clauses that will be contained in this bill, there'll be one for FY20 and there'll be one for FY21 to fill the deficits in both years. You'll remember, Mr. Chairman, that the legislature's already passed a supplemental funding bill earlier, the last week or so. That bill had a three-quarter vote provision and a reverse sweep provision, and they both failed. So there was what we call $250 million, what we call headroom available for that bill of UGF spending, and there was $246 million available in that bill of UGF spending, and that the bill total of UGF was $360 million in that bill. That included $142 million or so, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I don't remember exactly, but of Medicaid payments to help FY20 to make sure we had enough unrestricted general funds to match federal money so we could make payments to providers in FY20. There was $110 million in that legislation for fire suppression. There was also some money to pay for the COVID emergency response. And so the action that was taken by the legislature was not approved with a three-quarter deficit filling language to pay the full amount of $360 million that was appropriated in that bill. So what you'll see in a coming amendment in the bill in front of you is an amendment to add the CBR deficit filling provisions for FY20. And you also see in that amendment also CBR provisions for the deficit in FY21. And so, Mr. Chairman, in the event that those CBR provisions are not obtained, those thresholds, those votes are not obtained in either body of the legislature, then what would kick into effect is this reduction that the motion in front of you of 25% of unrestricted general fund reduction that then is coming, the fund source would then come from this the constitutional budget reserve, the dollar amount in C1 that I just referenced, which is in a total of $692 million. That funding, if the CBR vote is not obtained, would be subtracted from the bill in front of you, and in essence, Mr. Chairman, you would have a budget that could fund 8 months, 8 to 9 months of government functioning. And further, in an amendment, the next amendment to come, there's contingent language that says it's the intent of the legislature that in the event that the CBR vote fails, that we intend this to be an 8 to 9 month budget to get us through basically March 1st, and that further, the legislature intends to pass a supplemental bill by February 10th of next year to fill in the gap that's created by the lack of deficit filling language to fully fund this budget. So, Mr. Chairman, there's other details that Ms. Schultz will go through when she gets to the next amendment, but in essence, Mr. Chairman, that is the reason for the amendment in front of you.
So this amendment, Mr. Eklund, is a stopgap measure in the event that the CBR authorization, which takes a three-quarter vote by the legislature to access, does not take place, then there would be no ability to access basically $392 million of funds, and therefore the budget would be roughly reduced by 25%. This does not include education. It does not include the courts.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman. It's actually $692 million when you add the statewide item of retirement and then the number section items. And you're correct, the judicial branch is exempt from this 25% reduction, and so is the K-12 foundation formula. It's exempt from this 25% reduction.
Do we have any other questions on this before I remove my objection? Okay, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption. Do we have any further objection?
Mr. Chairman, can I have just a brief at ease?
Sure, we'll have a brief at ease. we'll come back on the record. Come back on the record. We'll. Any other questions or anything on this motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I would like to object.
Okay. We have an objection to the motion made by Representative Foster. And would you like to speak to your objection?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Agencies don't necessarily always bill in a same amount monthly, and so it's not necessarily true that that this would get us through a budget for a 8-month period of time for each of those agencies described. So I think that this is there's several ways to do a budget, but I don't feel like this is where we want to go.
Okay. For those listening, the reason this is in there is in the event that there isn't sufficient votes to allow access for funding to the Constitutional Budget Reserve, which takes 3/4 of the legislature, and being at a severe time constraint that doesn't give the legislature the luxury to continue in session over the next, and gather up in June over the next days, weeks, or months, or clear into August like a year ago. This would allow the legislature to adopt a functioning budget and go home and deal with health issues in our communities and our families, reconvene sometime in the late fall or first of the year, and finish off the budget. That's the intent of this. Hopefully, the Constitutional Budget Reserve 3 vote requirement is met, and this becomes just added language in the budget bill. We have any other comments on the motion by Representative Foster? We have an objection. Objection is maintained, correct? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Ryan Hawk?
Yes.
Representative Johnson?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
No.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
Yes.
There is support for the motion, so it passes. We'll go on to the next item, which is intertwined with the previous. Representative Foster.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I move the committee adopt amendment number 1.
I will object for purposes of explanation. If we could have Mr. Eklund again, or Schultz, I guess, the other committee aide on the lead committee aide on the operating budget. And we'll give her the opportunity to explain what this amendment number 1 is.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Caroline Schultz, staff to the Senate Finance Committee. You should all have in front of you an amendment labeled amendment number 1, as well as an amendment sectional labeled A in the top right corner. And I'd like to walk through this. This is it's a 4-page amendment. It's a big amendment with a lot of concepts in it, so I do want to make sure we take the time to walk through every item in this amendment so the committee before us and the public and other legislators in the building know exactly what we're adding here.
Okay, so let's have you walk through the items on the page, and then we'll come back to committee members' questions or concerns or discussions. Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 1 of Amendment 1, lines 1 through 8, we have a partial fund source change of the appropriation to the permanent fund dividend fund of $360 million will remain a general fund appropriation, and $320 million will be made directly from the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund. This, as commented by Mr. Eklund earlier, will allow for a roughly $500 permanent fund dividend payment to every Alaskan in the event that there is not a CBR access vote granted by both bodies with a 3/4 vote. And in the event that there is a 3/4 vote obtained by both bodies, the public will obtain a full $1,000 permanent fund dividend. Just a small detail, Mr. Chairman, you'll notice that the appropriations from the general fund and the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund are not exactly half and half. That is intentional, Mr. Chairman. That is not a mistake. There are fixed costs for both administering the permanent fund dividend as well as other costs. And so in order to ensure that the full $500 amount is paid to the public in the event CBR vote is not obtained, we wanted to make sure that the appropriate amounts were appropriated from the general fund. The second lines 10 through 12 is just a fund source change of, and that fund source is referencing an appropriation of $75 million made from the general fund and now will be made from the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund to the Department of Health and Social Services for the public health response to the COVID-19 disaster. Lines 14 through 16 on the amendment is similar. It's a fund source change replacing the general fund with the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund for a $5 million appropriation to the Disaster Relief Fund in response to the COVID-19 public health disaster.
Mr. Chairman, this is P. Declan. I just wanted to add that for those two sections, the $75 million disaster response for the COVID emergency and the $5 million COVID to the response to the COVID emergency to the Disaster Relief Fund. In an earlier amendment, just 10 or 15 minutes ago, you guys adopted the committee adopted a language amendment that cleared up that the piece of legislation that extends the emergency must pass for these two appropriations to be valid. Just wanted to point that out, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
And in addition, just for more information for members, both of those appropriations are fiscal year 20 supplemental items with an immediate effective date. Mm-hmm. Moving on, lines 18 on page 1 through line 10 on page 2, that's changing the fund source for 25% of the unfunded liability deposit to the PERS and TERS fund. That's a total of about an $85 million fund source change from the general fund to the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund between those two, between PERS and TERS. All right, I'll break the next subsection up. If you look at lines 13 through lines 18 on page 2 of the amendment, that's subsection A, that's the reverse sweep language. We're adding the reverse sweep, as you all know, at the end of the fiscal year per the Constitution, because we have a liability to the Constitutional Budget Reserve, all subfunds of the general fund are swept. This appropriation reverses that sweep and puts those funds back from whence they came.
Mr. Chairman, I would just point out some of the other information that's handed out to the public and to the committee. This other one, this other handout labeled B1 and B2 on the back page of it. The reverse sweep, it's been talked about, Mr. Chairman, in this committee a few times, many times. If the reverse sweep is not obtained by a three-quarter vote of each body of this legislature, it will impact the budget on the magnitude of order of about $650 million of holes in the budget, not necessarily all at the same time, but at different periods of time within the budget, there's going to be about $650 million of impact to the budget. Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead and continue.
Moving on, subsection B, lines 19 on page 2, going on to lines 1 of page 3. This is the fiscal year 20 deficit filling language. This will ensure that the appropriations made by both bodies in House Bill 234, which was the supplemental bill, it will ensure that those appropriations are fully funded. As mentioned earlier, there was about $115 million of that appropriation bill that were unfunded. This will also ensure that fiscal year 20 appropriations made in House Bill 205, the operating and capital budget before you, will ensure that those supplemental items are also funded. I would like to note for the committee that there is already existing fiscal year deficit filling language for fiscal year 21 in House Bill 205 before. It's not a conferenceable item, it's already in the bill.
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
can you ask what that amount is close to? Do you have an approximation of that? Hundreds of millions? Is it?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, yes, it would be hundreds of millions of dollars, depending on the price of oil. We all know that that's been, we haven't got a spring revenue forecast released to us yet.
Mr. Chairman, no further questions.
Go ahead and continue.
Thank you for the safety net, Mr. Eklund. Again, for the record, this is Caroline Schultz. Lines 5 through 11 on page 3 of the amendment add a reference to House Bill 206, That was the mental health budget that was passed by both bodies and enacted. We're just making sure that portion of the operating budget is also referenced in our operating budget, in our deficit filling language. Sorry, and I would like to make a quick clarification that on your attachment, the sectional for the amendment, there was an error made. If you look at page 3, lines 5 through 7, it should say FY21 CBR deficit filling language for HB 206, not HB 205. And again, that was just a mistake that I had made when I typed this up. It's referenced twice in the amendment. So moving on to page 3, lines 13 through 17. This is just referencing all the CBR appropriations made in the bill. This is the portion of the CBR section that's standard where you say that the appropriations made from the Constitutional Budget Reserve are made under the rule in our Constitution that says you have to have a 3/4 vote. So this is just referencing all the aforementioned CBR appropriations in the numbers section for the permanent fund dividend, for retirement, for the COVID money that we discussed. Those are all listed out. On page 3, line 22, lines 22 through 28, that is contingency language that ensures that all CBR appropriations made in this bill are contingent on enactment of the reverse sweep. Lines 29 on page 3, all the way through lines 5 on page 4, that's contingency language that clarifies that if a 3/4 vote is not obtained by both bodies, that the appropriations made in this bill are for the purpose of funding the first 8 months of the fiscal year of the state agency operating budget, and also has intent that the legislature, if a 3/4 vote is not obtained, that the legislature will resume its work and make the appropriations to fund the rest of the fiscal year budget by February 10th, 2021.
Do we have further questions, explanation needed by committee? Committeeman on amendment number 1. See no further discussion. I'll go ahead and remove my objection.
Mr. Chairman, I object.
Okay, we have further objection. Would you like to speak to your objection, Rep. Wilson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are many ways to do a budget, and I know that there is a urgency amongst this body to end this session and end this session with a budget that our government can run. But Mr. Chairman, this ties many things to the CBR vote. Including the dividend. Which at this time, Mr. Chairman, we know that the people of Alaska, as we've heard and I spoke earlier, are hurting. We are here. When I call back home, they don't have funds. They're concerned. They're scared. Mr. Chairman, small businesses are not able to operate, even as innovative as they are in trying to come up with ways to deliver their goods and services. Mr. Chairman, but again, Mr. Chairman, I know what the votes are at this table, so I will remove the objection.
We've had an objection, explanation of objection, and the objection removed. We have further objection on amendment number 1. Seeing none, amendment number 1 is adopted. We'll go on now, Representative Foster.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that we give legislative finance and legislative legal services the ability to make technical and conforming changes to the conference committee substitutes for House Bill 205.
We have objection. Do to the stated motion? Hearing none, this motion is adopted. We will now, we're going to go ahead and take a recess, but we've taken care of all the conferenceable items in House Bill 205. We will recess to the call of the chair, and we'll, to ensure that we're ready to report out of the conference committee, the report. The bill is underway in the printer. I think this concludes, even though we'll be in recess, I'm confident that this concludes the committee's work. I want to thank the House, and particularly the House Finance Committee, the House Conference Committee Finance members, and the Senate Finance Committee and Finance Committee Conference members for all their hard work. I'd like to also make a special thanks to the committee aides in both bodies to in responding to this virus situation that has come upon us so quickly. They have been working 7 days a week and many, many hours a day to put a budget together that the administration can function with and have the funds to respond to the virus. And we've been pushing them pretty hard to put this together. And I am frankly impressed with the quality of the work that the committee aides have done in both bodies to assemble the document. So we are prepared late afternoon or early evening to hopefully present a budget with ample funds in it on the governor's desk so he can start responding to this virus situation that is frankly impacting the state from Ketchikan clear up to Fairbanks. I just wanted to make sure that the staff is recognized for their hard work, because this, it was a lot of work to put this document together this fast. And with that, we'll be in recess, and hopefully we won't see anybody's smiley face here until the next budget. We are in recess. Good evening. I'd like to go ahead and call the Conference Committee on the Operating and Capital Appropriations Bill, House Bill 205, back to order. Time is 7:04 p.m. on Saturday, 28th of March, 2020. Back from recess, Vice Chair Representative Foster, Representative Johnson, and Representative Tilton. And from the Senate, Senator Olson, Senator Von Imhoff, and myself, Stedman. We're just concluding the action today of the Conference Committee report. So before we move on to the committee report, I'd like to give additional thanks to our new Legislative Finance Director, Pat Pitney, for all her hard work. Although she's not here, she's probably home resting. Legislative Finance Staff, Kelly Cunningham and Alexi Painter. And the bill drafters, Linda Bruce, Maria Cote, is that right?
Kellett.
What's that? Kellett. Kellett? Kellett? Okay, it's close. And Megan Wallace. I'm sorry, Chairman, I always unfortunately butcher someone's name, and it's embarrassing. But I would like to give a special thanks for them because they also have been, for the last 2 weeks, been working excessively long hours, 7 days a week, trying to help us get this budget out because of the ever-increasing virus count around the state and the nation, trying to help the legislature. So they're going also above duty. Do we have a lifeline?
No.
Do we have a motion to move the Conference Committee report? Representative Foster.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move the Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 205 from committee with individual recommendations.
We'll have a brief at ease. On the record. Representative Foster, you have the correct motion. Again, the Senate selects the House.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
But go ahead and repeat your motion just for clarity.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move the Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 205 from committee with individual recommendations.
We have a motion, and is there objection?
I object.
Okay, to moving the Conference Committee report for the Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 205. There is an objection. Would you like to speak to your objection?
No.
Okay. We will. Then your motion is made, or your objection is maintained, correct?
Yes.
Okay. The objection is maintained. Clerk, please call the roll.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Yes.
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Okay, the motion did pass. It will move from committee. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the report, and then I will gavel back in so we're at a brief at ease. back on the record, I'd like to thank the committee members for autographing it. And thanks again to the members of this conference committee and the finance committees and their staff. Representative Foster, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that we adjourn this conference committee.
We have a motion to adjourn. Do we have objection? We have no objection, so we are adjourned.